Have you ever noticed that when you take some time to purposefully think about things to be thankful for, how you can come up with a whole bunch of things? Even if things are difficult, if you take a broader and deeper look at your life, there are a number of things to be thankful for. God has given us so much that we can always come up with something to be thankful for. I was thinking about our church family lately and wondering about being thankful. Am I thankful for you? Are you thankful for me? Are we thankful for each other? It's very easy to think that the church should be all kinds of things for us, and it is rather easy to point out where we all fall short of those things. But do we take the time to think specifically about each other here at Calvary Baptist Church and be grateful to God for each other? And I'm not talking about being thankful for each other because of what we do for each other, because not in that sense, because if I'm thankful, my thankfulness is for you, is based solely on what you do for me, then what happens to my thankfulness when you don't do things for me? There's no thankfulness. I'm not grateful for you. It's conditional thankfulness. It's thankfulness that is based on me, right? It's based on me. I wonder about being thankful for each other, thankful for you, based on who you are. You are you, and I'm grateful to God for you. About a year ago, after coming back from seeing a counselor, that's right, I went and saw a counselor, he really helped me work through a whole bunch of stuff. And as I was driving home, going through what the counselor and I had just talked about, I reminded myself, yeah, Edgar, God loves you. God loves you because... And then I stopped and I was like, wait a minute. I just threw in the word because. God loves me because. Well, because of what? Something that I've done? Because I'm so nice? That's why God loves me? No. God loves me, period. I am Edgar, loved by God, in Christ, loved, period. No because. Well, what about being thankful? Do we always have to add the word because? I'm thankful for Edgar because. What about being thankful for each other minus the component of you doing something to earn my gratitude? What about unearned gratitude? No consumer approach where good and kind services are received and then gratitude is given. What about being grateful for you because you are you? Can you imagine how that would change our church family, change our lives, if we committed to building that kind of an environment where all of us are appreciated for who we are, not what we bring to the table? The Apostle Paul wrote his letters to churches addressing all kinds of issues, correcting Christians who strayed from the truth. The churches were not well-functioning, mature in their faith adults. They had issues and trouble and did all kinds of nasty things. Yet the Apostle Paul was thankful for them. Listen to these verses. 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 1. We give thanks to God always for all of you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers. Ephesians 1, verse 16. I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. He goes even further in 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 3, saying, we ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers, as is right. He is thankful for them, it seems, regardless of the circumstances. It looks like he's just thankful for who they are, all of them. And we see this kind of thing in Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 to 11, which we will look at more closely. It is a different, it is a foreign way to view each other. That's because, as Isaiah 55, verse 8 says, God's thoughts are not our thoughts. So we're going to look at this passage and trust in the Lord that he's going to be changing our ways of thinking and our hearts. Let's pray and then look at this passage. Father, we come to you with dependence on you to open up our eyes to this truth of thankfulness. Lord, would you please come and make us humble so we can hear what you are saying in your word. Please connect the dots to real life things that are going on inside of our minds, inside of our hearts, how we're living. Please, Father, bring your correction, bring your encouragement. Change us as the Calvary Baptist Church family. Change us, Father, for your glory, so that we look more like you want us to look. Come, Lord, have your way. In Jesus' name, amen. In general, Philippians was written by Paul to the church in Philippi. Not because there was a major problem threatening the church, but rather to caution the church to continue believing and living in ways that were according to Jesus Christ. There is a constant draw throughout the book that the reader is brought back to the Savior, Jesus Christ. And in the first 11 verses of the letter, he reveals his heart for these brothers and sisters, these Christians that are in the church in Philippi. Verse 3 to 4, I thank my God in all my remembrances of you, always in every prayer of mine for all you, making my prayer with joy. So when these Christians come to Paul's mind, he thanks the Lord for them. When he prays for them, he thanks the Lord for them. And his prayers are done with joy. His thankfulness is genuine, actually producing joy. He is not grumbling or moaning about them that they should be different. He's praying prayers of thanksgiving to the Lord. Lord, thank you for my brothers and sisters in Philippi. Thank you for them. And it's not just thankfulness for some in that church. He said, I thank my God in all my remembrances of you, in every prayer of mine for you all. And it's all of them, not just some, but all of them, which means he's thankful for those who don't like him, those who talk to him and those who don't, those who are different than him with nothing in common with him, people of different ages. He thanks God for all of them. And this isn't just about things they have done. He's thankful for all his remembrances of them. This person and that person, thank you, Lord, for them. That is a different way than our consumeristic way of living today, where it's more of a, why should I be thankful of him? What has he done for me? Yet this is an unconditional thankfulness that is biblical and based on something deeper than actions, something deeper than centered on me. And I see three things in verses 5 through 11 that if we remind ourselves of these over and over, renewing our minds with these truths about each other, our church family and our lives would radically be affected for our good and God's glory. So let's look at these three items. Number one, our thankfulness for our brothers and sisters, for each other, grows when we remind ourselves that they have been saved by Jesus. This is coming from verse 5. Paul is thankful for them because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Partnership in the gospel, this sounds like partners in spreading the gospel, doing evangelism, but it's more. They participate in the gospel of Jesus Christ. They all commune together with Christ, and all of that means they are in the same family of God because they are saved by the same Savior, Jesus Christ. They are brothers and sisters joined more deeply than flesh and blood, but by the Son of God. God has one family that he brings people into when he saves them, only one. And in Acts chapter 2, there we find that the Christians, they were devoted to the preaching of the apostles, to fellowship, to communion together. They provided for each other's needs. Hospitality was super important, so they gathered in each other's homes, practically loving each other. That's how that early church functioned. And in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, it says that while this was going on, while the church was functioning that way, the Lord added to their number, day by day, those who were being saved. Added to their number those who were being saved. Those that were being saved by the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ became a part of the church family that was meeting. They became included as a family member. Whenever someone is saved by Jesus Christ, they become a part of God's family and have fellowship with God's family as one of the family. Salvation is being brought into God's family, his kingdom, through Jesus Christ. Why is this family aspect so important? Because of the categories that are found in the family. There is God the Father, and then there are his children in Christ. That's it. God and his children. And Paul is grateful to God for his brothers and sisters because he is so glad that they didn't receive the punishment their sins deserve, but received forgiveness and adoption by God. Paul knows that the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ. When Paul thinks about the family members, he thinks new creations in Christ. He thinks sinners redeemed and made into a child of God in Christ. He thinks they received the same salvation I received. Yes! It's a thankfulness that is Christ-centered, gospel-focused. We all received salvation in Christ. This is awesome. That's where that's coming from. That's where Paul bases his thankfulness. This starting point when looking at family members, it starts with their identity in Christ, and he is thankful for their new identity, for who they are. We are saved by Jesus Christ. Our eyes have been opened to sin and salvation. We know what we have been saved from and what we receive in Christ. How can't we be thankful to God for those who have received the same salvation? Why wouldn't I be thankful to God for you, my brothers and sisters in the family of God? How can I be thankful for my salvation? How can I be thankful for salvation and not be thankful to God for your salvation, that you are in Christ? Your identity is in Christ. That's the starting point where we need to start from. Start by reminding yourself that you are looking into the eyes of someone who is covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, just like you. Being thankful for someone based on what they do for you seems so empty. Here is another sinner made into a saint, who is bringing praise to the only Lord, our Heavenly Father. Why not be thankful to God for these Christians because they're Christians? Thankful for them based on their identity in Christ. Try that and see what takes place with your thankfulness. That's the first one. The second one. Our thankfulness for our brothers and sisters grows when we remind ourselves that they are becoming Christ-like. Now, verse 6, this comes from verse 6, which is said still in the context of being thankful for Paul's brothers and sisters in Christ. And this is what verse 6 says. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. We know that when God the Father saves a person through Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit begins making them more Christ-like. The sinner is justified, and then the Holy Spirit's work of sanctification begins. Justification begins the sanctification. And that transformational work of the Holy Spirit can be seen. The fruit of the Spirit's work can be seen in the redeemed's life. Paul is thankful for his brothers and sisters' sanctification, their growth in loving and glorifying the Lord. He's thankful that it is happening and will continue happening till completion. He is thankful that God is being given the worship he is due by his brothers and sisters in Christ. I am thankful whenever I remember you, your salvation, your transformation into a person whose life is lived more and more as worship to the Lord. Paul is thankful for that. Thankful for that transformation. Thankful for that change in his brothers and sisters. And when we are thankful for the sanctification work of the Holy Spirit in our own lives, how can't we be thankful for the same sanctification work in the lives of our brothers and sisters? How can't we be thankful for God being worshiped more? How can't we be thankful that this person in front of us is becoming more and more like Jesus Christ? The process isn't complete. They are not perfect. Just like you and I aren't perfect, we mess up. But they are in process of becoming more and more like Jesus Christ. Salvation and sanctification, they belong to the Lord. That's the truth. And he gives it to people. I'm saved and being sanctified, and so are you. Isn't this great? This is awesome. I'm so glad you are saved and being sanctified by the Lord. I'm so glad God offers salvation to sinners, which we both were, and we both received, and now we are brothers and sisters receiving the same benefits from God through Jesus Christ. Look at your brothers and sisters. There is something to be thankful for, which is greater than what they can do for you. They are growing worshipers of God, becoming more like Christ. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. When we understand the greatness of salvation in Christ, we are thankful for everyone who receives that salvation and that sanctification. Start there. View each other as someone who is becoming more and more Christ-like. It's not based on you. It's based on them, their identity, what God is doing to them. Start there and see what happens with your thankfulness for each other. Number three, our thankfulness for our brothers and sisters grows when we remind ourselves that they are worthy of being afflicted for the name of Jesus. The second part of verse 7, it reads this way. It reads of suffering. You are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and the defense and confirmation of the gospel. Those brothers and sisters with Paul, they went through trials with Paul because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. They suffered for the gospel. That is actually an amazing privilege to be able to suffer for the gospel of Jesus Christ. We see this from the apostles in Acts chapter 5. There, the apostles were brought before the Jewish judicial council because they were proclaiming the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. The council told them not to speak of Jesus again. They beat them, and then they let them go. They sent them on their way. And after being beaten, these apostles, it says in Acts chapter 5, verse 41, they left the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. That, of course, being the name of Jesus Christ. They rejoiced that the reason they were beaten was because they preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. Their association with Jesus got them punished, and they were humbled and glad to receive a beating for being associated with Jesus. That is similar to what is going on in Philippians 1:7. Paul is thankful for these brothers and sisters because they are found worthy of suffering affliction because of their association with Jesus. They belong to him. They are becoming more like him. Jesus is so cherished and worshiped by these Christians that they preach about him and they suffer for it. They suffer because they've been deemed worthy of suffering for the defense and confirmation of the gospel. Now, many of us are suffering for the name of Jesus, for the preaching of his word, for being associated with Jesus. It's not on the same level as some of our brothers and sisters around the world who are getting beaten and killed and everything taken away from them. But to some degree, we do suffer here. Many of us are not suffering right now. But you need to know, we all need to know, that when it comes, and it probably is coming, it's a privilege to suffer this little bit for such a great God. Our brothers and sisters sitting beside us right now will be deemed worthy to suffer for Christ. That's who they are. Thank you, Lord, for making them worthy and giving them that blessing of suffering for you. This thankfulness that Paul had for these brothers and sisters was so deep that he said in verse 7 to 8, it is right for me to feel this way about you all because I hold you in my heart. For God is my witness how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. He loved them. It was so deep. He wasn't thankful just based on what they did for him, but who they were in Christ, their identity. He always appreciated, we are always appreciative and thankful for what we value. Well, Paul valued these folks because they were saved, they were being sanctified, and they were sufferers for Jesus Christ. That's who they were. And that thankfulness spilt out in prayer requests to God on their behalf in verses 9 through 11. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment so that you may approve what is excellent and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. He asks for growth in love, increase in love for God, accompanied by knowledge of God's truth, with discernment, so that they will be able to know and recognize God's truth, so that they will be filled with the fruit of righteousness, which is the fruit of the Spirit listed in Galatians 5, verse 22, the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, but as well as the fruit of righteousness, which is good works for the praise of the Lord, as Ephesians 2, verse 10 says. Wow, that's what Paul prays for coming out of a heart that is thankful for his brothers and sisters. What do we pray for each other? This kind of loaded prayers of lives that are transformed and increased faith and love for the Lord? Or Help Edgar today. Help Dixie today. This thankfulness that Paul had for his brothers and sisters just spilled out of a heart. This prayer just spilled out of a heart of thankfulness to the Lord for who they are based on Jesus Christ and his gospel. Sinners born again, becoming more like Christ and worthy to suffer for him. Church, how do we look at each other? How are we thankful for each other? Is it based on what you do for me? Is it based on me, my thankfulness for you, based on me? Or can we get to a point where we look at each other and go, I'm so grateful to the Lord for you. Why are you so grateful to the Lord for me? Because you're you. You're you. You're in Christ. I'm so thankful for the Lord, to the Lord for you. Spend time thinking about us. Us right here. I'm not talking the whole wide world of the church of the Lord, but just us, starting here with us. Think about us, not based on what we do for you, not based on you, but think about us as who we are in Christ, our identity. And from that Christ-centered, gospel-focused reality, appreciate who we are in Christ. Give thanks to God for who we are in Christ. Have that thankfulness change the way you and I treat each other. Let's be thankful to the Lord for who we are in Christ. Let's pray and work for God's ways to become our ways. And in that, radically change our relationships here at Calvary Baptist Church family for the praise of our God. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's pray and then celebrate communion. Father, this is a foreign way to think. It's even hard for me to embrace it. But Lord, I want to be that kind of a person who is thankful for these, my brothers and sisters, because they are my brothers and sisters, not because of what I'm getting from them, but because of who they are, and I'm grateful for them. Lord, let that be so. Change us personally. Change our church environment for your praise and for your glory. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Amen.